I do know how hot it is outside, if any of you are thinking, my goodness, he's in a suit. I still recall one of my kids in youth group years and years ago on a 40-plus degree day down near Federation Square in a zipped-up hot jacket, sweat pouring off his head. I'm like, take your jacket off. No, I'm just conditioning myself. I'm conditioning. And he was trying to get ready for whatever may come in life. But there's some things that you can't condition for, right? There are some disasters or conditions that come our way that are just beyond our own control. And for these things, we can either despair or turn to God and ask for help and to trust. This psalm, Psalm 91, as we continue our psalm series, is one of those psalms which just says of how much protection God can give his people. It's a psalm of great comfort, knowing that the Most High, the Almighty, is looking over us. It's to his arms we can flee in times of trouble and know his shelter and his peace. So if you've got your Bible, a physical version like this, open it. If you've got a digital version, don't do like the lady I saw at a church a few weeks ago. I'm in a visiting church. Time for the sermon. Get out your devices. Out it comes, straight to Facebook. Now, I do want you to be connected while you're in church, but connected to God. Okay? So if you want to get out your phone, no worries, but please stay with us. Stay with the Word of God and let's enter into it. Psalm 91. I'm going to spend the majority of time there. I'll be ducking into for a little while to Matthew 10 at the end. Psalm 91, verse 1. What amazing words of comfort. To the one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Just powerful. I have no doubt there's some people here today who need to rest in the shadow of the Almighty, who need his strength, who need him to be a refuge. For those of you who are in that position now, this psalm can be immense comfort. It can be so give you resilience, knowing that I'm not doing this by myself, that God will protect us. I remember hearing a story years ago of a lady travelling in Africa, I don't know the exact country, but travelling from one village to another, going through a very particular dangerous part, and she was warned not to go between because of the people who would normally attack. And anyhow, she's like, oh, God will protect me. So off she goes, and she got from one village to another, and she was okay, she was safe. After a few hours of being there, someone said, oh, where are the men who were with you when you went down the path? And she's like, I walked down this path by myself. And she's like, the response was, no, there were men carrying machine guns walking with you. And she's like, I was by myself. Do with it what you like. But this lady knew that it was the Lord somehow protecting, giving the illusion, or whether angels were actually with her. Amazing sort of story, but one which is sort of overt of God's protection. Imagine being in that shelter knowing that God was with us, that his angels are protecting. Quite amazing sort of story. Do with it as you will. But it was told to me as a true story. Psalm 91:2, I'm going to continue through. I will say of the Lord, this is the psalmist writing. This is what he will say. He knows this to be true from his own experience. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That is his experience, and he wants us to know that God can be one that we run to for protection and shelter. Have you run to him for protection or shelter recently? I have. I heard Ravi Zacharias once tell a story of a guy in a war, and he was They were trapped down in one particular point and they needed to get to the next point. And his commanding officer said to this guy, "We need you to get up and take this next point." And he just refused. All he did was he looked at his watch. And the commanding officers kept on saying, "You've got to go, you've got to go." And he just kept on looking at his watch, looking at his watch. And they just thought him to be the most timid and scared and gutless sort of person. And then he looks at his watch and he gets out and he goes and he does the most heroic things possible, almost for no care for his life, going from scared to not caring. And afterwards, the commanding officers asked him, "What happened?" And this guy said, "Well, my mum said that she would pray for me on the hour, and I wasn't going to go until I knew she was praying." This particular guy didn't have faith in God himself, but he had faith in his mother, knowing that his mother truly trusted God. And so that protection, in a way, extended to him, and he was able to go about his task with such a buoyancy, knowing that there is this protection around. And Psalm 1 lends to us this confidence that God is with us in the troubles and the turmoil that we face. Verse 3 of Psalm 91, "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." A few of you here will know Jill Buttle. She comes to our evening service, and she just told me a couple of days ago of this time when she was doing the dishes, as people do. She was doing the dishes at home, and she just felt this overwhelming urge. "I need to stop, and I need to pray for Tim," and Tim's her husband. So she stopped the dishes and she prayed, "Lord, protect Tim. Whatever's going on, I commit him to you." Then she went back to doing the dishes. And then within a minute, she had this other overwhelming sensation. "I need to pray for the other person who's with Tim." So she stopped the dishes and she prayed, "Lord, whoever's with Tim, I pray that you protect them and be with them." Well, later that day, she got a phone call from Tim and said, "I almost died today." And she's like, "What? What happened?" And he was working in the mountains in Victoria, up in Gippsland Way. And he was coming one way around a hill, and a log truck was coming the other way around. And there was just no way that a collision could be avoided. The truck couldn't stop in time. He just couldn't get out of the way. And what happened? Just all of a sudden, the back of the truck hit something and rolled, and the truck went down the mountain, and the guy, 10 rolls later, had a small bruise, and Tim, nothing. This sort of story lends itself to the protection of this psalm, that God does protect people, that this is a part of the Christian story, protection and prayer. So, have any of you, you know, when we think about the wars of years gone by, when you have a king on one side and another king on another, and they say, "Call out the archers," and the archers come out, and whoosh, whoosh, off they go. They call out who they want. From this passage, you would think that they would say, "Well, we're going to get some Christians on our side. Call out the Christians!" Because this says that the arrows won't touch them. So the Christians have got this shield around them that they can just come out. Whoa! This protection around Christians. Because that seems to be, if we take this passage just fully 100% literal, that is what we could do, correct? But is that in reality what happened? No, when Christians get called out to fight or drama, not fight, fight or to do anything in danger, we so through human history have fallen by the sword. So this tells us that we are not immune in the way that a straight reading of this text would lend us to. That being said, protection is part of our story. That being said, it is something that we pray, "Lord, protect us." When we drive, I pray when I get on a plane, We pray for protection, knowing that God can and does, but we also know, as we read even the psalm that Greg spoke from last week, that there is pain and suffering that's attached to many of our lives. This psalm is still true, even despite the suffering. Anyone here ever used a chainsaw? Chainsaws are pretty good. The chainsaws are sort of like, just to go with me, like this psalm. Good, powerful, when it's used correctly. But used incorrectly, this psalm can actually do a lot of damage. It can hurt. What do you mean? Well, a few years ago, I was playing football, Brave and Tough, and my leg got very, very broken in the knee. And the pain that ensued was something that I would hope I never have to bear again for the next 10 months. And so, if I were to read this psalm straight, I would say, well, hang on, I was not in the protection of the Almighty. Something bad happened to me. Does that mean I was out of His will? Does that mean I was out of His protection? Does that mean I'd sinned somehow that I no longer experience God's grace? That is the furthest from the truth. That time of my pain and suffering, thankfully it's gone now, but that time of my pain and suffering, I did know the closeness of God's peace and mercy and eventually joy even through and in the pain. These are the times of pain, that often we cry out to God the most. And He was no further from us when we got hurt as to when we weren't. This is part of our story, that God is with us in times of good and bad. And this isn't just me. If you were to take, say, for instance, the persecuted Christians in China, just because they're persecuted doesn't mean they're outside of the shadow of the Almighty, right? No, they're pressing in hard. And it's not through sin, but it's through faithfulness that they're experiencing this persecution. What about the Anabaptists throughout church history? They were trying to be faithful and they got persecuted. Any of the other reformers got persecuted for being in the shadow and shelter of the Lord. The disciples, Stephen who got stoned, and Jesus Himself. If anyone was going to be under the shadow of the Almighty, it's Jesus, right? In fact, Satan quoted this psalm at Jesus in the temptation. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself from this temple, because it's promised that He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. So Satan even quoted this to Jesus, and he's like, don't put God to the test. But if this psalm was going to be true of anyone, it would be true of Jesus, and He was not spared for suffering. So that tells us that these suffering and protection need to be held together. Does that make sense? I do want this passage to have power. I'm not trying to zap the power out of this passage, because it's there and we need it. But there is another side to the story. In our culture, I was at the CMS weekend, and also when we had the CMS spring thing here, it was mentioned as well. But this guy, David Williams, who works for CMS, talks about our culture now being a pleasure-pain culture. It used to be, guilt-innocence culture. Now we've shifted to pleasure and pain. And what we want to avoid is pain. What we want is pleasure. So to the pleasure side of our culture, Psalm 91 is awesome. We just hang on to it. But as Christians, we need to avoid the tendency to just stay there, because there's so much more to life than just good times. And we know it. And that's where the church mobilises the most often, into suffering, into places of darkness, knowing that God is with us in it. Just to reclaim this psalm a little bit more, I want to focus our eyes on verse 8 in Psalm 8, and then I'm going to jump through to Matthew. But verse 8, I think, clarifies a lot of the psalm and what is going on in a way. To the psalmist, he's writing, "You will only observe with your eyes." This is if you live in the shadow of the Almighty, if he's your protection, "you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." So if you imagine that, say, in a war, everyone who died is being judged by God for their sin, then this is sort of the idea, that if God's doing the judging in what's going wrong here, you need not fear. You don't need to worry. Because when it comes to judgment, you will only observe. Because judgment won't fall on you if you are in the Almighty. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what we are. In Colossians chapter 3, we are told that we are in Christ. That is where our safety and protection lies. We heard in the psalm about the shadow of under the feathers coming underneath. It reminds me of when one of my kids comes under and grabs them just right here. It's always funny when they go to the wrong one and realise it. But the protection that they know under the arms. And the protection we know most is when we come under the arms spread wide on the cross, where wrath and sin and shame and pain were consumed by Jesus so that we don't have to face judgment. We need not fear anything that comes in our life thinking, "I've sinned and this is because of it and I'm being judged for it," because all the judgment has fallen on Jesus. There are still consequences to our actions, but God's judgment has been swallowed up by him. So I do want to leave us with a protection bubble that I talked about, but I want to move it back one step where the early church does, where the scriptures point us to. Our protection bubble is not from absolute immunity from anything that happens in our world, but rather in our Matthew reading, we get a real understanding of where that protection lies. From the gospel reading, just before it, Jesus was saying that you guys, you'll be persecuted, that your brothers and sisters may give you up, they may hate you, you might get killed because of faith in me. So that tells you that the psalm needs to be held in tension. But then he says, so do not be afraid of them. That's anyone who's going to hurt you in this life. Don't be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be known. And I'm going to jump to verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Isn't that comforting? You're worth more than sparrows. But it's really an interesting point that God won't even let a sparrow fall to the ground without him knowing and it being in his will. And here's where our confidence can come amongst suffering. Even though it may be hard, that we know that God knows and we know that his arms are close and that for whatever reason, our loving Father has allowed this to happen. I don't know why my knee got smashed, but I've learned a lot out of it. The suffering that might be in your life at the moment, I don't know why that's there. But what I do know is our loving Father, he knows, and he's good. And you can still be safe in his protection, even through and in this suffering. So our shield that we have as Christians, the thing that we can move into as well, is that God will protect us from the second death. Other people in this life, the arrows that fly, may well kill our body, but they can't hurt our soul. It is safe in Christ. I'm turning to Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That is where our protective bubble is. And that is the sort of thing that gives us confidence. A guy, T.R. Glover, in 1917 wrote in a book, The Jesus of History, he said that Christianity was victorious because the early Christians outlived, outthought, and outdied the world around them. Outlived, outthought, and outdied the world around them. Knowing that God is with us gives us an ability to go into trouble, knowing that our true life, the life that is deep, will not be harmed even by the worst of consequences, because our life is hid in Christ. So that gives us an ability to die well, to not be afraid of death. Have any of you here seen Hacksaw Ridge? Sounds like a really terrible name. I wasn't going to go watch it just because of the name. I'm like, here we go, it's another Freddy Krueger type thing. But no, it was actually a remarkable war movie. And the guy, I'm not going to try and, what do they call it, spoil. But the guy there did remarkable things. Remarkable, amazing things. In dangerous, dangerous, dangerous places. And he did it by himself. Not because he wasn't afraid of bullets, but because he wasn't afraid of death. Not because he had nothing to lose, because he wanted to stay alive, but he had everything to gain. He knew that he was safe in Christ. And so he could live with an extraordinary boldness that turned what people were saying he had cowardice to the most brave. It's this sort of dying well, or being prepared to, knowing that they're protected by God, that changed John Wesley's life when he saw the Moravians on the boat as they were singing psalms in their service, and the boat was being overwhelmed by waves and it was a horrible storm. Everyone else thought that they were going to die. John Wesley noted that the English people were just scared out of their wits, but the Moravians sung their psalms. And afterwards he went and asked them, and he said, "Were you afraid?" And the Moravian said, "No, I thank God." And then he asked, "But your women and your children, they weren't afraid either." And he said, "No, our women and children aren't afraid to die. Why? Because they fear him who can kill the body or the soul. And their life is hid in Christ. So they need not despair at their life coming to the end, like those who didn't know Christ were." Just this week I heard a story about those Egyptian Christians, and you'll know the ones, who were beheaded by ISIS. They were lined up, dressed in orange. Do you remember that a year or so ago? Just terrible. Well, these Christians were so devoted to God, even in their turmoil, that someone who was not an Egyptian and not a Christian was lumped with them and carried around for a long time. And as the others were dying, the ISIS said to this guy, who wasn't Christian, wasn't Egyptian, "Are you going to renounce your faith too?" And his response was, "Well, my God is their God. Living well, thinking well, and dying well, because our hope is in Christ, changes the world. I pray that we will know that God protects us, that every day is ordered and numbered by Him. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows us. And so when we are either facing trouble or are in it, I pray that you will come to the refuge, that you'll know that that sickness or pain or whatever it may well be isn't a result of sin necessarily. I pray that Psalm 91 will give you strength and hope and joy. And I pray also that if suffering come our way, Psalm 91 won't destroy us because we haven't got the protection, but rather we'll push into Him, knowing that He's closer than ever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we can indeed come to your arms, that our protection, our ultimate protection, was won at a great price on the cross, where Jesus' arms were spread wide. May you give us a confidence in your word, knowing that you have us safe. We thank you that our ultimate life cannot be touched, that it's guarded, kept in heaven, ready to be revealed in the last days. And may this hope drive us once again to mission, to sharing the good news of God in Jesus. And may it fill our hearts with peace and joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.